Amen? Please welcome our very own Pat Davidson. Steve, give Pat the mic. She's going to share with us this morning a testimony.
I have to have my cheat sheet just in case the senior mind goes blank. I am up here today because God wouldn't let me sleep. He had something he wanted me to tell. And it really began on Monday when I started reading our Bible work for this week and the travels of the Israelites through the wilderness and their struggles with God. And as I was reading that, something began to click in my mind. But I just didn't think any more of it until that night. And God has started laying it on me. So he wanted me to bring my story to you. When I was 9 years old, I accepted the Lord, and he became my savior and friend. And this became the foundation of my life. And then as we were going through high school, I had an awesome time with Jesus. It was wonderful. All you kids who are in high school, there is no better friend to have than Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there was something missing in my life. And when I got married, I went to a variety of churches because we moved a lot. And so that made it hard to make connections. And as my children came, those wonderful girls of mine, I began to feel a depression. And that depression lasted for 31 years or more. It's like I couldn't get out of it. And the churches I was going to, attending, they didn't teach much about God the Father's love. They didn't teach about the Holy Spirit working. And so there was something missing in my life. And I would cry out to Jesus, show me what I can do to feel better. Show me what I can do to stop my husband from drinking. Show me how I can fix my marriage. And on and on. Sometimes I think he must have got tired of me. But he was always there for me through the rough spots. But it didn't take any of that away. And one day, it clicked in my head, and sometimes that head's pretty hard, that God, the Father, really loved me, and that he wanted me to be close to him. He was no longer that far away God. He no longer was that punishing Father. And so I experienced the love of the Father. But that didn't help my depression any. I just had someone else that I could complain to. And then one Sunday, I went to a charismatic church and met the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that was the missing piece in my life. But my depression didn't go away. In fact, it became worse, and it became pretty serious. And my counselor says, how about going into a Christian hospital? And so I did that, and that's what I needed. After being there for a month and getting medication and getting my thinking straightened out, God showed me I was asking for the wrong thing. He wanted me to release all of that stuff and give it to him. Mm. And so I released my depression, released my husband, released my marriage, and all the things I was hanging on to. But most of all, he wanted me to give up trying to fix things myself. Mm. That was the end of my depression, but then I had a lot of recovery to do. In 1993, I came down with a serious case of shingles. I was in bed for 2 weeks and had over 6 months of pain, and serious pain. And one day I was in bed and God sent me an angel. He came in and he prayed over me and helped me with some things I needed done. And then he went into the kitchen and cleaned my kitchen and did my dishes. And you women know what that would do to you. That would just, how much that would mean to you. That man, that angel, was Brian Scheimer. I had just started going, I'm shaking here, stop that. I just started going to his church a couple, 3 months before that. And then the next summer, I helped Brian move up here to Oregon, him and his family. And then I moved to Oregon. And that began a whole new adventure for me. Complete change. It was really different. That was 20 years ago. In those 20 years since, it has been hard at times, but wonderful always. God has been right there beside me. Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. God wanted me to do 3 things, and he said it before me. This is what I want you to do. If you do this, I will bless you. And my 3 things were, I was to let go of everything and give it to him and let him be in charge. The second thing was, I was to have an attitude of gratitude. And the third thing was to thank him for everything, and I mean everything. And that completely changed my life. It's like, it is such a freeing thing to do. I just thank you for listening to my story. I decided that I couldn't tell you the end of the story without telling you the beginning and letting you know where I have been coming from. Daily, I thank the Father for loving me so much that he was patient with me through it all. Mm-hmm. And Jesus for walking with me and keeping me safe. And the Holy Spirit for teaching me and comforting me when I stumble. Thank all of you for listening.
Good job.
Thank you, Pat. Ushers, would you come at this time? We'll receive our offering. Good to have Noah with us this morning. He's going to play a little offertory for us, but first let's pray together. Father, we thank you today again and again for how you bless us, how you provide for us, how you fulfill your promises to us. We truly give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Noah. The Bible says don't covet, so.
Let me sing through that. Would you lead us to sing through that one more time, Noah?
Noah.
Noah.
Larry is preempting here.
This is really good. I just love this song.
You love the song and you want to sing it.
Yeah,
so play the song, we're going to sing it.
When I am down and all my hopes so weary, when trials come and my heart burdened be, then I am on your shoulders. More than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be.
Cousin needed that this morning. Perhaps he's not alone. God, you raise me up to more than I can be. We have an adjustment to Sunday school this morning. You little kids can be dismissed, but if you are in Mrs. Losley's class, you are invited to stay here. The small ones you are able to leave at this time. However many, who's teaching that, this group? Samantha, okay, so there you go, you got them.
Amanda.
Pizza Fellowship tonight, we're showing the movie The Insanity of God. It's a true story of faith and persecution. Amanda had gotten some questions about whether it was an age-appropriate kind of movie or exactly what was going to go on, so she will have some other things going on as well, but you know, there's just some things that it's good to learn about, folks. Things it's good to learn about. So if you think that everything is just la-la land, this movie will inform you that in some places of the world, it's not la-la land, and Christians are being persecuted, and yet in the midst of it, God is showing up and helping them. So please, if you can, tonight at 6, it'd be great. On Thursday, Lynn Harrell has kind of organized our senior sack lunch game time, and that's Thursdays at lunch, so please come and enjoy that.
We need to know for the numbers of people
The men's retreat is coming up March 10, 11, 12. That's just in a couple of weeks. So, guys, we have a good group signed up, but there is a sign-up sheet. Yes, Norm?
There's a flyer over there also.
All right. So, fellas, please think about coming to that. We'll be using the curriculum we've been studying on Monday nights, experiencing God and letting it be supplemented or augmented by what the Holy Spirit does, and looking forward to that. Other announcements there in your bulletin. So I want to begin this morning perhaps with an apology for last week's message. If somehow I came across too strong, or if I upset anyone with my question, you'll recall my question, if you weren't here last week, I'll offend you. The question is, what kind of God is this that we have? And the question was raised because of my own questions going through the Old Testament and seeing the way things unfolded between God and humanity. Sometimes it just made me question, what's the deal? The thing is, we need to know God.
Amen.
We need to know Him. We need to know his nature and his character. We need to be able to reconcile within our own souls the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, because they are the same God. Hello? We as Christians in this 2017 year, we don't have a God of the old and a God of the new. We have one God, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. Amen? In fact, Jesus came specifically for the purpose of reconciliation. So if we could say we don't really understand what's going on here, and then all of a sudden we have this, and we say, well, wow, I like this so much better, how did that get reconciled? Through Jesus Christ. But we don't have to wait for the New Testament to understand it. We will see, I hope today, the wonderful nature of the Lord God Almighty by way of what he said, and especially what he said about promise. If you're taking notes, now would be the time to write the word promise. Here's a quick review of the first five books of the Bible. Genesis is about creation and beginnings. Exodus is about deliverance and redemption. Leviticus is about law and worship. Numbers is about adventure and discipline. And now we've come to Deuteronomy. It's about preparation and entry. From the very beginning, God has spoken to the man he created and told the man what he wanted and didn't want. True or false? So we have the Creator, we have the creation, we have communication from him to us, yes? He's told us what he wants, and he's told us what he doesn't want. Like a good father, God has disciplined his children, and when they cried out for help, he rescued them. Amen? Amen, Irene? When they got in that pit and asked for deliverance, he lifted them up. And then, isn't this the way of a father? Okay, son or daughter, you've misbehaved. You need some discipline. You don't like the effects of discipline. So after a season of that, you call for mercy. And he lifts you up. And then what's he do? Gives you some more instruction. Isn't that like a parent? Right? Okay, son or daughter, you blew it. I love you anyway. I forgive you. But, right? And then there's additional instruction. This parenting business. The instructions are to remind his people what he wants. How many times do we read in the Bible that they did something, God showed up, God miraculously did something, and then to remember what he did, he had them put up a pile of stones or a pillar of this or carve of that or write something on their frontlets or weave a certain cord in their garments or presented them the bread and the cup. All through this life with God is woven his urging us to remember who? Him. Remember me. I don't know about you, but if I were to ask you to name three really great things that happened to you last week or three really horrible things that happened last week, which list would you come up with quicker? Yeah. You could come up with the things that you didn't like or upset you or mistakes you'd made or offenses that happened to you. Boy, we can fire those right up, can't we? And to try and remember what three really wonderful words of God were spoken to me last week. Did he even speak to me last week? So by now, if we're not careful, we may have this idea of God as being a terrible taskmaster, a lawgiver and judge, defeating his enemies with such utter completeness that we wonder about grace and compassion and forgiveness. Oh, how we like to make God Almighty like one of us, instead of surrendering ourselves to be like Him. Now, it is impossible to summarize God in a single word, His nature, His character, etc. But there is a word that comes close. It's that word I had you write down earlier. Promise. He is a God of promise, who makes promises, who keeps promises, and who enforces His promises, who can be relied on because of His promises. Now, I'd like you to open to Deuteronomy chapter 1. That's the fifth book. Deuteronomy chapter 1 begins with an interesting statement. These are the words of Moses. These are the words Moses spoke to all the people of Israel who were gathered in the wilderness in the Arabah Valley east of the Jordan River across from Suf. They'd traveled through many places on their way here, from Paran through Tophel and on to Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizab. Verse 2, it's only an 11-day journey by the Mount Seir road from Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, where God made a covenant with Israel, to Kadesh Barnea, where the people first tried to enter the promised land. Now on the first day of the 11th month, 40 years after the nation left Egypt. Okay. How long? Here it's, I don't know if this is absolutely correct. I'd heard it was a 2-week journey. These guys travel a little faster on their Camino than I do. 11 days. 40 years to get 11 days of progress. And what they said in verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, go into the land of the Canaanites. Your Bible may read it a little differently. Does it say enter the land of the Canaanites?
Mine says go to the hill of the Amorites.
Go into the land is the point. What did God tell the people to do? He told them to go, didn't he? I want to share with you what for me is something kind of dramatic. I'm still having trouble getting my full mind around how this works. The Hebrew word for promise is our word for the day. The Hebrew word for promise is absolutely amazing. It's the word that's used all through the Old Testament. It is nowhere as complicated as we make it. In fact, I wasn't sure I wanted to do this, but I do. Can any of you define what you think the word promise means?
Swear to do something.
Say again?
Swear to do something.
Okay, you swear to do something. So tell me more what that means. What's the swearing business? You're making an oath to do something. Okay, does that capture everybody's idea of promise?
Putting brackets around that word.
Has more of a punch.
Because we don't have words.
So if I said, Steve, I'm going to come up and see you tomorrow afternoon to help you with your yard work. Steve would rejoice, right?
Would be in pain.
But if I said, Steve, I promise to come up to your house tomorrow and help you with yard work. Oh, he promised. Would that have more weight?
Yeah.
Yeah. It means, the word promise means, drum roll, to speak. Promise means to speak. You'll catch on in just a minute. To declare, converse, command, promise, warn, threaten, or sing. What you and I do is we add all kinds of brackets, all kinds of conditions to the word promise, because really, we often don't mean what we say. So we use the word promise to try to say that what we said, we really meant. Hey, Steve, I'm going to come up and help you with yard work. It's different in my language than Steve, I promise. You can count on me. I'll be up there. I make an oath. It's a covenant. I promise. Do you see the difference? Why is my word, just what I say, not good enough? I love the old-fashioned idea of a handshake, right? You seal it with a handshake, and that's as good as any contract ever had. Wow. This, the way you and I speak, is not the way God speaks. You and I speak with all kinds of caveats and all kinds of conditions and all kinds of, well, if circumstances will allow it, and all kinds of if I'm ables. I even like, how many of us have said, well, if the Lord wills. Yeah, we're trying to say we're going to do something and we throw that in there. Well, if the Lord wills. I want you to read some of the elements of the way God speaks a word of promise. It's in the same chapter, verse, chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. So I told you, don't be scared. Don't be afraid of them. You won't have to fight this battle yourselves. The Eternal, your God, who always goes ahead of you, will fight for you just as he did in Egypt. You saw him do it. And here in the wilderness, all along the route you've traveled until you reached this place, haven't you seen the Eternal, your true God, carrying you the way a parent carries a child? But you still don't trust the Eternal, your God, even though he always goes ahead of you as you travel and finds places for you to camp. In a pillar of fire by night and in a cloud by day, he always shows you the right way to go. I went to the sign shop over there in Forest Grove, Miracle Sign, I think it's called, and I had them make up a big, it's almost 4 feet by 8 foot sign that says Buen Camino with a yellow arrow on it. And I mounted it on my barn. And every time Carol and I go in or come out or walk past, I am reminded that God led us faithfully on a journey. That his promises are real. That what he says he will do, he will do. That he is faithful. Amen? He always shows you the right way to go. What would happen in your life if you actually believed what God said? So you've written the word promise down. Now make this little note. What would happen if I believed what God said? Let me ask you this. Would you be more or less likely to listen to him if you believed what he said? I know this gets rather personal. If we say that we believe God, if we say that when he speaks, he means what he says, And if we say we believe in him and we want him to speak to us, then shouldn't we be more interested in hearing what he has to say? Why do we run away from this? Has God promised you anything? And if so, do you know what it is? I'm not asking you to raise your hands and tell me. You might put this on your paper. What has God promised me? Not what has God promised Pat Davidson or the elders or anybody else in this place. What has God promised you? And if you don't know what he's promised you, that's okay. Can you find out? Can we, you and I, can we discover the promises of God? There's one little Bible verse we learned, the promises of God are yea and amen. That's because when the hearer hears a promise from God, his response is, yay, so be it. I'm getting there. What would happen in your life if you actually believed what God said? Number two, would you be more or less likely to listen to him? Number three, has God ever promised you anything? Do you know what that is? Number four, what is it that keeps you from hearing God? I've had more than one person tell me that they're frustrated in their Christian spiritual life. They're frustrated because God doesn't speak to them. They hear people testify how God speaks to them. God doesn't speak to me. And I'm not faulting that. I'm not putting that down. That's a, if you can get to that place where you say, God's not speaking to me, at least you're being honest. Quit telling me and tell God. Get vertical. Go to the Lord. Tell him you need a word. Tell him you need to hear from him. And then how about making the effort to get where you're in an environment that he might show up? Which probably is not the computer pornographic material. It's probably not the bars and bowling alleys, and not that I'm against those places, but if we don't go to the place where we're liable to meet, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come, fill this place. Change the atmosphere. Amen? If my life is so worldly that it doesn't make room for God, then no wonder I don't hear from him. If my life is so busy, if I get up at 6 a.m. and go to bed at 12 midnight and just do that over and over, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, of course I can't hear anything. We need to do those things. We need to make those changes, folks, in our lives to get ourselves into a place where we can hear him. Would you be ready today to put your foot into the promised land of God's presence? Would you be ready today to put your foot into the promised land of God's presence? The nation of Israel complained they were in captivity, slavery to Egypt. God set them free. Then they complained they were going to be destroyed in the desert. God fed them. They complained they didn't have water. He gave them water. They complained they didn't have food to eat. He made them stand 3 feet deep in quail. Every point along their life, he answered everything. And then he showed them the promised land. What did he say? Go. Go into that place. There's giants in there. I love the one translation says, we seemed like grasshoppers to them, and so we were in their eyes. Well, yeah, you think you're a worm, you're going to look pretty wormy. And God just says, go in there. I'll make a way. I'll go before you. I will do it. Has God made promise to us? So now, Irene, to complete your thought, we now have a mediator, Jesus the Christ, with us every step of the way. one who died for us, one who paid for our sins, so that we have no judgment to fear if we go with Christ where he wants to take us. I'm not anti-fundamentalist. I'm not anti-Catholicism. I'm not anti-anybody. I'm for Jesus.
Amen.
If people say, but I fear the judgment, then I say, you don't know Jesus. You might know all about him, but you don't know that he died for you. You don't know that he paid the price for your sin. You must not understand that all the judgment that you fear, that you deserve, all that's been taken care of. That's Jesus Christ, your mediator. Yeah, but the God of the Old Testament is such a God of wrath. You bet he is. He is a God. He's a jealous God. He can be an angry God. But he sent his one and only Son to take in his body all the punishment due you. It doesn't get any better than that for you, selfish person. God, what have you promised me? Well, there's a couple things he's promised me right there. He's promised me I don't have to go to the judgment. In fact, the way I read my Bible says that when I get to what we call the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a whole system of rewards. Rewards! Way to go! Has God promised you anything? Has anybody in the room heard the word well done?
Yes.
Has the Holy Spirit ever said to you, good job? You say, well, quite frankly, I don't feel like I've done anything good. Well, have you acknowledged him? If you've acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, good job.
Amen.
Oh yeah, but these other people have done so many more things. There's so much to do. Go, church. Go into the promised land. Look in the Word this next week when we start reading. Start searching for promise. We're supposed to be looking for where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. Have you seen him? He's been everywhere. He comes right now as the mediator of a better promise.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you do give us hope. Thank you that your Spirit comes and strengthens us and encourages us, even as you're trying to motivate us, oh God, to step out and to go into strange places and to perhaps be among a strange people. But Lord, you've told us it's a land of promise. So help us to have at least that much mustard seed-sized faith to believe what you say. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today is not Nacho Sunday. It's Healthy Day. So stay a long time and get very healthy. You are dismissed.